At home, our family devotion was the last little while. We had been reading, it's been a week, we're done now for a little while. We'd been reading through the book of Joshua. And Joshua inspired me as I read through that again and just pondered all the many things that happened. And there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of things in the book of Joshua that, it's a lot of history, a lot of maybe stories in a sense, but Joshua had quite a responsibility, and he did well. He wasn't a perfect man. He made some mistakes too, but he like all of us may well, and we were just so it was interesting again to just study his the account there and think about what about his life. And so I was pondering about him, and I wanted to just think about his character. My thought was, as I started studying about Joshua, was I thought I'd just speak a little bit about Joshua and his life, and I was thinking of the character and all his character and who he was. And but as I looked at that, what kind of stood out more and more as I studied about Joshua, thought about Joshua, was how he was a type of Christ. And I found a list of several things, about 10 different things, where he was a type of Christ. And I don't know, some of those are, I don't know if I'll touch on all of those exactly or do something with all of them, but it's an interesting thought, Yeah, and I don't know if I fully understand everything or was able to do everything I would like to do with the, because I'm still thinking about it. Maybe I got ahead of myself here, and maybe I should have just studied some more and thought this thing through some more before I tried to talk about Joshua. But maybe it'll inspire all of us and you too this morning. Joshua had a lot of responsibility. It was a leadership there. He was called to lead the children of Israel there from the wilderness into the land of Canaan, and they conquer the land there. The first that I know that we really read of Joshua is there way back in Mount Sinai when Moses was up on the mountain and Moses came back down. It refers to him as a servant of Moses several times. But when Moses was up on the mountain and the children of Israel got discouraged with him not coming back down for those 40 days, they started worshiping those calves, Moses was coming back down, he saw what was happening, he broke those tablets, and it mentions Joshua there was there with him, and he was away from the group of people, and he was with Moses when he came back down to them. Joshua was also one of the 12 spies. Him and Caleb were the two that came back with a positive response to what the options were, what they could do in the land of Canaan. And they said, yes, we can do it. Or the other 10 said, no. We don't read a lot more about Caleb. I've often wondered about the relationship between Caleb and Joshua all those years. Some reason I think that Caleb might have been quite a bit older than Joshua, but maybe not a lot. I don't know, but just thinking about Joshua and thinking about him and his life. But in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9 says, "Now Joshua the son of Nun was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses." So, two things that I would like to gather, or several things I want for us to do as we look at the life of Joshua. And the first one is simply that we would notice how he was a type of Christ, he was a type of Christ, and that he was that God. But secondarily, what can we learn as we look at the character of Joshua and look at who he was and how he related to things in our life and how we relate to things? But it says here that he was filled with the spirit of wisdom. And I think we would all agree that that is something all of us need of. So, several things. The first one that I have in comparison, that he was a type of Christ. Joshua was appointed by God. Going back there to there in Numbers 27, it refers to him too. What I read there for was in Numbers 34. It says that in Numbers 27, it said, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him up before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." Then in Joshua chapter 1, after Moses had died, God came personally to Joshua and said this: "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land of which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel.'" So Moses was called. Moses appointed Joshua. God told Moses to appoint Joshua to lead them. God told Moses to appoint Joshua to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Canaan, out of the wilderness into the land of Canaan. You know, Moses. We often think of Moses as the leader, as the people that, as the leader of the children of Israel, and rightfully so. Moses led them out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the old. Of sin, type of the old, of bondage, a type of, but and Moses took them out of that, but Moses did not take them into the land of Canaan. Joshua did that, and that is a clear type of Jesus. Joshua was a type of Jesus. We are totally dependent upon Jesus Christ to take us into the land of Canaan, to freedom, for forgiveness, for grace. Moses was a type of the law. The law pointed towards righteousness. The law told them about condemnation. The law told them what was right and what was wrong. Moses brought the law into place and taught them all these things of righteousness and righteousness. But Moses did not take them into the land of Canaan. That was Joshua. That's where the law cannot do that. The law cannot take us into the land of Canaan. The law does not take us into freedom. We can understand righteousness. There's judgment. There's the concepts of righteousness and what's right and what's wrong and sin and all those things. That the law points all those out. But Jesus is the one that takes us into the land of Canaan, into freedom, into forgiveness, into grace. And so there's where the type comes in. God appointed Joshua to take the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. They walked through the Jordan. We'll look at that some more and how that was a type of Jesus. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus being the one that was chosen in different scriptures, and we could go there. I'm not going to go all through all those things, but I think we understand that there's a difference that it was Jesus Christ. The law could not take us. Moses was the type of the law. Moses did not take this. He drew them out of Canaan, out of Egypt. And as they understood sin, and as they understood what was right and wrong, they prepared themselves for redemption. But they depend on Moses to take them into the land of Canaan, just as we depend on Jesus Christ. We can try to keep the law, but we cannot. It's not good enough. We can keep the law. We can do all those things, but that in itself is not enough. We need Jesus Christ, just as the children of Israel needed Joshua to take them on into the land of Canaan. Second point, the second place there where Christ and Jesus, I mean Joshua and Jesus were, there was a type there. Their names actually, there was the same name. Joshua and Jesus is the same name in different translations, in different in language. They mean the same thing. Joshua means Savior, just same as Jesus means Savior. In the Hebrew, Joshua was like the Hebrew name, and Jesus would be more of the Greek name. That's also, that intrigues me too, as we think about Jesus saves us. Jesus is our Savior. Just like Joshua was the Savior for the children of Israel, and he took them from the wilderness across the Jordan into... So just some note, just some things that I have here that I noted. How applicable this name is to Christ. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He saves us from the effects of sin, the guilt of sin, the condemnation of sin, the wretchedness of sin. He saves us from the world. He saves us from death, from the grave, eternal perdition. Saves them fully. See, he completely saves us. Joshua didn't just save some of the children of Israel, just a little bit. He took them all the way into the land of Canaan, across the Jordan, into the land of Canaan. But there were some differences. Although Joshua was a savior for the children of Israel, it was only a temporary salvation. It was dependent on them being faithful. It was only for a time. And Jesus saves us for eternity. Jesus is a Savior for eternity. Salvation of Joshua was but for the Jewish people, just for the nation of Israel. And the salvation of Christ is for all man. We all have an opportunity. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was God's will that all could be saved. And Jesus died for the sins of the world, not just for Israel. So there were some differences, but it was a type. Just as Moses brought the children of Israel into the land, as Joshua brought the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, so Christ provided for our salvation and brought us freedom. What can we learn from this? Can we sense that in ourselves? Do we understand our need? Can we see in Christ the completion, all that we need, all that we are, all that we have? Tremendous. And Joshua, as he filled his place, as he served as a servant, Joshua as a servant, which is the next point. Joshua was called the servant and a successor of Moses. As he was a servant, he was prepared to become his successor. Joshua was called the servant of Moses. He was a faithful servant. He was obedient and submissive to the will of God. In the same way that Jesus was the servant of God. Jesus was the Son of God. But it was because he was obedient. And as he was obedient to God, he became our Savior. He filled his place. He did what God had called him to do. Jesus was obedient. And as Joshua was obedient to Moses, he was his servant, he served him. We can find those examples there at Sinai and down through we notice in different places how Moses was there and Joshua his servant, and how he served him, and he was there with him, and he helped Moses with the work that was needed to be done. And so as he was there, and as he did what God wanted him to do, as Joshua did what Moses wanted him to do, and as he served Moses, he became prepared. He was then, when it was time for him to lead the children of Israel, when Moses died, that's how Joshua was prepared to fill his place as the Savior of the people. And that's the same way with Jesus. As Jesus was obedient to God, as he obeyed God, God's plan was for his Son to give his life. And as Jesus obeyed, he became the Savior, and he filled his place. And so that's the thought that I have. that's where we find ourselves. As we find ourselves obedient to to God's commandments, that we find ourselves doing what God has called us to do. We find that we are able to be His servant. We are able to do His will. We are able to do what He wants us to do. If we're going to do our own thing and follow our own ways, we have our own ideas. Joshua would not have been. It would not have worked. And same way with Christ, even though He was the Son of God, and we say He could have done whatever, He did not. He submitted. He was obedient to God. He followed through, following with God's plan. That's the tremendous example that I think Christ left for us. And we want to note that. That's why God could use him in the way he, as the Son. That's why Joshua was able to be used to the extent that he was as the servant. He was a servant of Moses, so then he became a servant of God. Joshua was a leader, and that's the example that that's something I really noticed with him. He was the kind of man that he wasn't perfect. He made some mistakes, the different things that we noted as we looked through the book of Joshua, but he was a commander. He was a leader. He went on and he did what he needed to do, and he instructed the people. He knew the law of God. He knew what God wanted him to do, and God told him to go through the Jordan. He followed through with that. When God told him to do what he needed to do in Jericho, he followed through with that. We know what happened when he tried to do things on his own there in Ai, and then that didn't work. So when he went back to God, and God told him how to relate to that and what to do with the situation, and when he followed through with that, they found their way through that, and they found victory, and they were able to go on and destroy Ai and the rest of those cities. Jesus Christ, he tells us, he gives, he teaches, think of all, look at the Sermon on the Mount, look at all the teachings of Christ and all the things that he taught us, there it says that he taught with power, not as the scribes, but with power, and he was able to, and he went all the way through it, he was able to teach, he was a leader, and he showed the people how to live and how to, what to do. That's the way. So we find this comparison between Joshua was a leader of the people. Jesus was the leader. He taught us and he directed us and he told us how to live. And of course he suffered and he died in perfect obedience to Christ, to God. Joshua took the children up to the land of up to the Jordan River, and this was early in his leadership. It was early in the time that God had called him to lead, and maybe there were still some people there that questioned who he was, but God told Joshua what to do and how the priests were to walk through the Jordan and how they went. They took the ark and they were walked out to the water and they stepped into the water and there it parted, and they were able to go out and stand in the middle with the Ark of the Covenant, and then all the people passed through on dry ground. That's where God glorified. God clearly showed the people who Joshua was there, that he was their leader. He told by them following his direction, for doing what he told them to do, they were able to pass through the Jordan. That would, I'm sure they there was think of all these people and they're seeing the Jordan and they know they're supposed to be on the other to go over on the other side and conquer all the land. So how is this going to happen? And so by following Joshua's orders, and God clearly magnified Joshua and told him, showed the people that Joshua was their leader, and that Joshua was doing what he needed to do. And that's the same place. Some people think it was exactly the same spot where Jesus was baptized, and God sent the Holy Spirit, the dove, like a dove, and it's, and a voice from heaven came down. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. If we would have been there, would we have doubted who Jesus was? The scribes and the Pharisees obviously did, so I don't think that in itself was enough for some people. But it was a clear blessing. It was a clear indication of God's blessing upon Jesus. So again, there's just an example. There's a type there. I see Joshua as God anointed him, and God took them through the Jordan River, and clearly it showed the people that Joshua was their leader and that they were to follow him. That's the same way that Jesus is now our Savior. He is now our leader. God clearly showed us there in the Jordan River at his baptism, and we look at all his teachings. We have a whole lot more than that today that we can clearly see that Jesus truly is the Messiah, that he truly is our Savior. We don't have to doubt that. And just as there'll be more things there. We think of the Ark of the Covenant and how they took that through there and how that worked. Then we look at Joshua and in Jericho. Jericho with its law. This is a writing that this is not my words. This is somebody else said this. Jericho, with its lofty walls and powerful battlements, typified the strongholds of Satan, as opposed to Jesus, the captain of our salvation. As the walls of Jericho fell, so must the strongholds of Satan fall. As they fell by means of the sound of ram's horns, which at first excited the contempt and ridicule of the inhabitants, so by the preaching of the gospel, which is foolishness unto men, shall all the strongholds of sin, of error, of superstition and idolatry be cast down. The kingdoms of this world shall yield to the scepter of Emmanuel and crown him Lord of all. 1 Corinthians 1. I like that picture. And it was a picture that I never really thought about as much. But, I've often wondered, what did the people of Jericho think when the children of Israel, this whole army, they camped there on the side of the Jordan? They were scared. They had locked up Jericho was all locked up. They were concerned about this. And then here comes this army, and they just quietly walk around the city, and then they just go back home again. And then the next day they come, and they just walk around the city, and then they just go back home again. And they did this for 6 days. And by then, what do you think the people in Jericho were thinking? What in the world? What's wrong with these people? That's no way to fight. That's no way. What are they trying to do? The foolishness of preaching, is mentioned in Bible. And just the preaching of the gospel. But when God's Spirit, when God really worked there, and Joshua and by the children of Israel being obedient and doing exactly what God told them to do, and then the last day, the seventh day, they came and they circled that thing 7 times, I believe, and then the walls just fell down. And that's exactly when we are obedient and when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts in the same way that he worked there, the walls of Jericho are nothing. The walls of Satan's power and what he can do, that's nothing. Those things will all just die. And so when we accept Jesus, when we follow after Jesus and we obey what he says, so that, and that's the power of the gospel. Just another, just an example of, when we think of Joshua and we think of the New Testament, we think of the Jericho and what he did there. And then we have another experience there in Jericho. Jericho was one of the first cities there that they conquered. And there was this Rahab. Joshua had sent several men over there to spy out Jericho. And I don't know why he did that or what was all behind that, because God had a plan. It didn't seem like that would have been necessary at all. But Joshua had done that. And And that's how they met Rahab. And Rahab allowed them, protected them, dropped them down outside the wall. And then they told her to tie that scarlet rope to her window so they know which house she lives in. And that's often seen as a type of the blood of Christ, a red rope and an escape, a way that we can get out. So here was Rahab, a harlot, a sinner. You know, we don't know what all was involved there, but we see the type there of Christ. Here has Joshua recognized that and allowed Rahab and protected Rahab and her family in the same way as Christ. You know, he came to the Jews, his own received him not, and then he went to the Gentiles, and here we are this morning, all of us, because of that simple truth, that God sent Jesus for all mankind, for us. And so again, that type, as Joshua made room for Rahab and he brought her into the camp, and later she was part of the lineage of Christ, or Christ was a descendant from there. So by the blood of Christ, every one of us, we are delivered, we are free, we can be a part of the kingdom of God. That's another story of Joshua's life and how it was a part of a type of Christ. Joshua went in, he was a conqueror, he took his people into the land of Canaan, just the same way that Jesus takes us. He has made a way for us. Joshua was a conqueror. I think I missed something here. Well, maybe not. Okay. I thought I had something, another one, but that's all I see now. Okay. I did talk about that. Yeah, I think I had all that. Okay. Yeah, well, I'm almost done here. All right, so Joshua was a conqueror, so was Christ. Just as Joshua went over and he conquered all the land. And it took several years, I think, as I studied there in Joshua, but Joshua was a man that he followed through, he kept going, he destroyed those cities one after the other, and he appointed all the different tribes, had their different places where they were to stay. You know, Christ, in the same way, he made a way for all of us. He appointed the church. He set up the church. He had the apostles. He put them in their place and he taught them. He showed them how the church should work and how it should function. And they established the church. After Christ passed on, they went on. They kept the gospel went on, and interestingly, it says in Joshua that says that after he died, I found this really interesting that as long that the people that he had put in place, that the people that he had taught, as long as they were living, they kept on doing those things. But it was after the next generation died, some of those things, they started drifting away and doing different things. But somehow Joshua was able to pass that on to those people. And look at the apostles and the twelve and how as they went out into all the world. And not everybody lost their way after the 12 apostles. There were still a lot of faithful Christians, but it seems that there was tremendous strength among those people. And that's the way it was with Joshua and his and the people that he had appointed and gave to take on the land after that. But as Joshua triumphed and controlled, he was a conqueror, and so was Jesus. He over sin, over the world went out. So I'm going to close. So I don't know. Maybe I know that was some ramblings, and maybe that doesn't all make sense. But the I was inspired with Joshua's life. As I thought of Joshua and I thought of him being a type of Christ, and we have the picture of the children of Israel leaving Egypt, going into the wilderness, and although, you know, we would think that Moses should have taken them all the way into the land of Canaan, that was the first idea we would have. God in his wisdom knew that he needed another man to be a type of Christ and to show us that what we need, we are in the wilderness, we leave Egypt, we are in the wilderness, we need Jesus Christ. We can be obedient to the law, we can follow through with that, we can try to live right, we can do the things that the law teaches us to do, but unless we have Christ to take us into the promised land, it's not enough in itself. We're not going to be able to. That's not enough. Put it that way. Canaan was a promised land. So is heaven. So is Christ in our hearts. So is peace. Canaan was dearly bought, the result of many victories. Heaven was not purchased by such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Israel lived long in the possession of Canaan, and the spiritual Israel of God shall dwell forever in the Canaan above. It starts here, in our own hearts, as we live for Christ. We live in forgiveness, as we live in the power of Christ and leading of the Holy Spirit. Heaven can start here today. As we're in the land of Canaan, I don't like the thought of thinking of Canaan as just as heaven as a type. In one sense, heaven is a type of Canaan. In one sense, we are in the wilderness here, but in another sense, we can enjoy the glories and the joys and the wonders of heaven and the land of Canaan here today, with Christ in our hearts as we live after righteousness, as we live in the teachings of Christ. So whatever we're facing today, whatever we live with, we are in one sense we're still in the wilderness, yes. But let's allow the power of God, the Holy Spirit in our hearts to bring the peace and the joy and the rest that we can have in Christ Jesus. And that, so as Joshua took the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, so Jesus has brought us into the land of Canaan, and we can dwell with him. So let's just kneel for a word of prayer.